Blog Talk Radio.
Frank, you ready? Yeah, run that back.
Alright,
here we go.
Oh no. It's been a while since I've been up in the booth. Feels good. Feels like 98.com. Fake Rob, delay up in NYC, I see you, dog. Plugs locked up. I got you, though. Free plugs. Had to do it to him. Swiper boy, take notes. Class about to start. Finally, got on a track with Bobby. We chilling in the penthouse while the haters in the lobby. 22 and already on a website supposed to dismaze, but it just don't feel right. Let's take a second, take some time to appreciate the boy that led Tennessee to that elite eight. But it's still sad to stop and think about, though. We'd have cut the Nets down if Austin made his free throws. But that was back then, yeah, it's in the past. Me and Maze up on this beat, taking names and kicking ass. We flying by you like a Tyler Bray pass. Balls finna be on top, you ain't even gotta ask. We scoring all day in that checkerboard grass. Make Alshon Jeffrey look like he pumping gas. DMV ham, man, not even somewhat. Your team look as ugly as Mud Champ's butt cut. Don't get me started on that loser Mark Rick yet. He looks just like Kellen Hunt in a headset. This has been a pleasure, yeah, man, it's been great. Shout out to B-Maze and feels like 98. What?
What? Gator Week, about 48 hours before kick, 2 days out, Trent Phillips, living legend, Megawatt. Big John Janitors is too busy posting on message boards to join us tonight, per Wahlberger. Appreciate you looking out, Bergs. We had to call him the big guns. We're going to give him his real name this time, full name, John Reed. John, how are you, sir?
Doing well, fellas, doing well.
Trent Phillips, you there?
Hey, man, what's up?
Buddy, while I get situated here, I just sprinted in the house from just a grueling, grueling shoulder workout. Listened to that former speech in Gainesville a few times on YouTube before hitting the iron. And the heart's still coming down a bit. Why don't you tell us about your trip to the big city this week?
I had a business trip up in the American Northeast. I won't give the exact location away. But not the type of place I would like to live. That's all I'm going to say about it for now.
John, how are you, sir?
I'm living the dream, folks. I'm ready to go. Yeah, I'm headed down to Gainesville in the morning. I'm ready to see what kind of season we're going to have.
Hey, you're going with Popcorn Sutton, Twitter legend Levi Sutton. Is that correct?
He hired me as his bodyguard. Yes.
I don't know. I was just hoping that maybe he could get you a phone that doesn't sound like you're talking through like 10 t-shirts or something.
That's true.
Am I not coming in clear?
Oh, we got you now. You're coming in now. You're okay. We'll give you an 8.5. It's kind of what we expect with four quarters radio. 760-683-2659. We are going to take some calls as we talk. Talk through this Florida game. Trent, I want to start with you. Before we had gotten on the show, you had told me on the phone that you were feeling extremely confident today, which is kind of hard to keep up. I can't really say much. I'm the same way. I have some thoughts as to how we win the game, but I want to hear your thoughts, predictions, what you're looking for come Saturday at 3:30.
Jerry, I would like to see I would like to see us use our strength. I'd like to see us pound the running game. I just see a monster game from Jalen Hurd. Just I'm talking like 250 yards on the ground, a couple of touchdowns, minimal passing set up by the running game. You know, just a classic Tennessee romp on the ground in Gainesville.
Wow. Wow. And you said you are extremely confident. You think we're going to win, and you have a little question about it.
Yeah, it just feels right this time. And you can vouch for me. I never pick Tennessee to beat Florida, ever.
No.
Never.
No.
Even when you guys are saying this is the year we just can't lose. I don't do that. This just feels like the year, mostly because it looks like they kind of suck. And they've got some good players suspended for the game, apparently. So, and I think people have made such a huge deal out of this Oklahoma loss. I mean, that's not a bad football team, and it's not like we got killed. We went toe to toe. We should have won. You know, the only reason people are mad is the manner in which we lost it. Otherwise, you know, it's just not that big a deal. We're a pretty good team, and fairly explosive on offense. And I think we win with relative ease.
Scale of 1 to 10, how much does this mean for Butch Jones?
It's big. A loss would be bigger than a win, if that makes sense. And a loss is a bigger negative. I just can't imagine losing this game. I will not want to log on to Twitter, message boards, anything of the sort. I just won't be able to. I can't face it with a loss. I just think it's unfathomable. We cannot lose this game. Can't lose it.
John, let's get your thoughts before we open up the phone lines a bit. How are your feels on Thursday? Where have they come since Monday? How do you see things shaking out on Saturday?
Well, it's a new tradition to kind of start working yourself into a win, and then Wednesday kind of get smacked back down with Butch's comments to the media and to the teleconference. I don't like what I'm hearing so far. I started kind of thinking a win was coming, but now I'm back to dreading this trip, feeling like disappointment was imminent. Just being honest.
You know, you got to dread the trip anyway. Listen, I've been lucky enough to, I think, hit all but one SEC town. Let's just be honest. The only redeeming quality of my Gainesville trips in the past were going to Jekyll Island for the week with some bros. And hitting the golf ball around a little bit. And then we would go in as quickly as we could, park at that McDonald's, try not to look at anybody, try not to get too far off University Avenue, because that's when bad things happen. Go to the game, we take our beating like men, and then we head back to the America's Best Value Inn, one of the premium hotel establishments in Gainesville, sleep on top of the comforter and get the hell out of there the next day. Gainesville sucks. I don't know if you've been or not. It's awful. But, man, it would be wonderful to be down there for a win, because, my God, they're so... So, so damn annoying. Something about their fans.
I was down,
something about.
I was.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say I was down there whenever Justin Hunter tore his ACL. So yeah, I was down
that
there
was
for
too.
A great time.
Yeah, yeah. They,
great time.
The thing I remember. Yeah, the thing I remember about that game outside of the ACL was they served turkey legs. They were selling turkey legs outside the stadium, and we our group absolutely mauled a few of them walking in. Those were pretty good. But the overall smell of Gainesville, Florida, I think, is what really gets to me. I tried to describe it on Twitter to somebody yesterday, talking about Twitter Florida fan, female fans. It smells like a generic ketchup. Like next time you're at Kroger, don't go for the Hunt's or the Heinz. Go get like the Kroger brand ketchup and just kind of open the top a little bit and just kind of waft it toward your nose. Close your eyes. And just picture like poverty on top of it, and I feel like you really get a good feel for Gainesville, Florida, just in the an aisle 8 of Kroger. As for my thoughts, before we do get to some phone calls, I think the key, and I've said it all week, Josh Dobbs, and I've had a really good back and forth with some Twitter buddies about Dobbs and Dormady. You've got – Josh Dobbs has to keep the ball some. I think you're going to see your quintessential Florida defense, very aggressive, very physical, very good. But if they do anything wrong, it's they over-pursue some. So if you can hit – give the ball to Jalen Hurd a few times, but Dobbs has to pull the ball. And I think in what I expect to be an ugly game overall, I think a couple of Dobbs sneaks, or at least Dobbs on the outside, get him to the edge. If they over-pursue, bite on Hurd, I think those are some big yardage plays that can change the game. And in a game like this, I think that makes all the difference in the world. I think both offensive lines are terrible. I think both defensive lines are great. I do like our mobile quarterback in this situation just because of that. I like our running backs better. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to beat press coverage once or twice too. That's something that absolutely just destroyed us against Oklahoma, is our inability to create separation on the outside. And I certainly hope that's improved. And I think there are a couple receivers that maybe didn't play as much as they should have against Oklahoma that have that skill set, Preston Williams being one of them. I certainly hope they get more snaps in Gainesville and environment. That seems like an environment that a guy like Preston can come out and come away a hero. Let's get to the calls though. 615-708. You're on the line with John Reed, Trent Flubb, and Big Perry Buckets. What's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Man's living the dream, dude. Wait for Saturday. What can we do for you?
Hey, I hear you. I was there in Gainesville. I agree with the smell. 2004
yeah.
On the wind.
Oh, it's wretched.
So,
it's wretched. Yeah.
I got three quick questions.
Hit me.
First question is Pig Howard. A little disappointed in this season. Is he truly hurt, or what's the deal with that?
John Reed. John
Say it one more time about Pig Howard. I'm here.
Is he hurt?
He is, I keep saying hurt. I think it's more he's struggling. Like, I don't know if he's just from the suspension, he's just not being able to get back in the game plan. I haven't seen him hurt. Like, at practice, he looks fine.
All right. Second question. Colton Jumper, total liability, first two games. What took so long to get Kirkland in the lineup?
You know, I want Trent Flubb's answer this one. Trent, you know, if you've listened to the podcast long, Trent really breaks down the X's and O's like none other, probably keep him coming back. Trent, what did you see out of Kirkland that Jumper really couldn't provide?
Pass.
Yeah, I don't know a ton X's and O's about football. I do think it's very important for a middle linebacker to get their guys in their sets and to communicate well. Honestly, that's the only thing I can think of. I think if you look at them side by side, I mean, Kirkland, he doesn't look like a freshman. The dude looks like he's a beast.
Agree.
The only thing I can think of is that he didn't have it in between the ears yet, and they were holding on to him. I hope that's it, because physically and what he brings to the defense, I mean, I don't think it's close. I also don't really blame – I think Jumper's probably getting the max out of his ability. Like, I think he's doing everything he can. I just don't – he's not an SEC linebacker, right? So,
sure.
John, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think a lot of what Jumper had to do is he does everything right, like in the weight room and on the practice field, and you kind of want to maybe throw those guys a bone early on in the season. But if you did watch Kirkland early in the season, he was kind of lost when he was in the game. I mean, Jalen Reeves made him would have to show him where to line up nonstop. So, I mean, I think it's a combination of you want to show other players, like, hey, if you practice hard, we're going to reward you regardless of talent. And B, like, hey, Kirkland had to catch up to speed as far as just lining up and knowing where to go.
Gotcha. Last question here. I appreciate the time. McNeil. What do you think his impact is, and how much he play?
Trent Flubbs, do you know who McNeil is?
We talking about Ladarrell?
Yeah. Boom, there it is, yes. What's he bringing to the table?
Man, I don't know. I really don't
know.
I guess he's a hard hitter.
I appreciate that next level insight. John Reed, Ladarrell McNeil, what do you think?
I think he'll just be a solid backup. I mean, I don't think he's going to get the start. Still going to be Todd Kelly. You'll still see Kelly get the majority of the reps. But I do think you get a little pep. You know, the team gets excited when they see McNeil back on the field just after the health scare. I do think he is worth keeping an eye on from, like, an emotional standpoint.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, I think experience means a lot, too. And I, like you said, I think he hits the nail on the head. He's gonna provide depth that we probably otherwise didn't have. I think he's obviously going to bring some experience too. He's been in games like this, kind of keep the defense tempered. You know, because this is kind of a game you can overhype yourself for, give up a few big plays, and you find yourself scrambling when you probably shouldn't be. So I agree with that.
Good deal. Thanks, guys. I think Jalen's going to have a massive day, and we just run up their throats.
She has a massive day.
I do too.
And they were going to beat their ass, dude. Going to beat their ass.
And Gary, I just need to correct the caller
He mentioned that he was in Gainesville in 2004, but we were in Knoxville in 2004. That was the last time we beat the Gators.
Was it 02? 02, sorry.
No, the even numbers were in Knoxville. The odd numbers are in Gainesville.
All right, sorry. Well, sorry, I was in college then. I don't remember too many years of that.
I was going to say, I hope it was a blur, dude. I appreciate the call.
All right, y'all, take care.
Take care, dude. Man, you didn't have to bring out the history books for the guy. You don't even know. You probably could tell me what position Ladarrell McNeil played. But that's all right. Listen, let's go to I think I know who this is. I hope it is who I think it is. Let's go to area code 203. You're on the horn with a couple living legends and then me. What's up?
Is this me?
This is you.
Hey, guys, what's happening? It's CFT.
What's up? Who is it? Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Here we go.
Who's on the phone? First off, this fucking podcast, I've listened for 5 minutes. It's a disaster. Who is on this podcast right now?
You've got Trent Flubbs.
Hold on.
You've got myself, and then you've got the new kid on the block in Knoxville who's out there hustling, trying to make a living. The next Alex Anderson, John Reed.
Who is John Reed? I mean, explain to me. Listen, I appreciate the props for being the next AA. Those are big shoes to fill. Brother, I'm sorry I don't know you. I live in the frozen fucking north now, surrounded by Yankees. I just don't know who you are. I want you to tell me a little bit about yourself. Was that terrible? Is that dead airspace?
No. I'm just waiting for John. I'm just waiting for John. John's probably collecting his thoughts.
Well, I was waiting to see if either of you guys would come and defend me, but I guess not.
No, absolutely not. Not on this podcast. Go ahead.
Tell me about yourself, John. I want to know about you.
John Reed is the future of sports radio in Knoxville. You better go ahead and get behind it, or else you're going to get a whole lot of outsiders that don't care about the fan base coming in and populating the airwaves. You know, the old guard is getting old, my friend, and you need some young blood, so
I suggest you go ahead and get on board with John Reed. I think that John Reed is the future and the voice for the voiceless.
John,
can John Reed speak into the phone, though? Can he do
that?
Can
you hear me? Is my phone just, like, not sticking up?
Yeah, I'm really confused. Was John Reed just speaking in the third person? I mean, I'm
yes.
pumped with that development, if that's
yeah,
what
John,
happened.
John Reed was speaking in the third person.
John Reed, I want you to continue to refer to yourself in the third person. I want you to tell me where John Reed is working or doing right now in Knoxville.
John Reed is on 1180 a.m. from 2 to 4. I do a Saturday show from 8 to 10. You can look me up on Twitter at JON2_Reed or 4quartersradio.com.
That is excellent. John Reed, I apologize for not knowing in advance. I'm a 67-year-old man. I live with Steve from Lexington. We're both in hospice care. It's tough on me. I don't get out a lot. You know what I'm saying?
No hard feelings. You are now informed.
Nice to meet you.
CFT.
Yeah, brother.
Absolutely. So you've been firing off on text about how certain you are that we're winning this game, and I believe you even predicted us to win it handily. I'd like to just crawl inside the mind of Clausen's Frosted Tips and understand why you think that way.
Well, it's a complicated prediction.
Okay.
And while it may seem on the surface that predicting a big win in Gainesville is being positive on the Vols, I can assure you that's actually not what's happening. Because what I'm looking at is ultimately, as a fan of this terrible program, what I'm looking at is what is the most painful result you can have. And the most painful result you can have is to win this game. And so Butch Jones then erases all the questions that are totally legitimate about the fact that Butch Jones's pucker factor, like AA and I and everybody else used to talk about with Fulmer, the pucker factor, the fear of the big game and the fear of trying to win that game. Butch Jones's pucker factor, his tight little asshole, is so tight that that Formers looks like a Bukkake video, like a specialty video. That's how tight he coaches.
Hold on,
as I've told multiple people.
Stand by. Hold on 1 second. I'm making sure I click rated R for the podcast here. Yep, I did. Okay,
it says explicit on it. I'm sorry.
Okay,
Keep going.
No, we can.
Are we trying to get the signification here? You tell me. Tell me what the plan
is. No, dude. We can talk men's tight assholes for the next 30 minutes if you want. I can go all day.
Wonderful. So
keep going.
My theory is simply this. Butch Jones, I think, is a choke job loser in games, and I think he's a big talker. I think he's great with recruiting and the program stability and blah, 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 blah. What's most painful for Vols will be to win this game and win it handily. And then we will be faced with the fact of talking about, oh, man, Georgia's weak. Mizzou is down. There's the East, because you know we're going to do that, right? We're going to talk
Correct.
About winning the East. Then we're going to talk about, man, who are we going to play in the West? Bama just lost. LSU is shaky. Ole Miss is probably going to have a couple losses. We can get that one. And then when you talk about winning the SEC, you're talking about making the college playoff. And then when you talk about making the college playoff, you're talking about, oh, there might not be a dominant team in the nation. The point being is this. We're going to win in Gainesville handily because that's the most Vol thing we can do, because we're then going to lose to Arkansas, Georgia, Alabama, Missouri, and one of Kentucky or South Carolina.
Just sit back and imagine that feeling for a second. Riding high as hell going into Arkansas, Bert Bellina, or whatever his name is, comes in and whips our ass. That would be hilarious. I mean, terrible,
well,
but
that's
hilarious.
Is there not a more Vol thing you can think of than that scenario?
That's par for the course. I like it. I mean, I would take the win over Gators, but yeah, that would suck. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely. CFT, we got callers. Anything on the way out the door, sir?
Trent Flubs. Have you predicted? First off, are you in San Francisco?
No. I'm in Upper East Tennessee tonight.
I thought you were in Hollywood. Is that just a troll you're doing?
No, I haven't left yet.
Oh, you're going to Hollywood?
Yes.
There are a lot of loose men who will ask no questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Clausen's Frosted Tips. You can catch him on the internet and probably a third halfway through a bottle of gin at this very hour. Great call. That's probably the first time we've talked about men's assholes. All right, let's go on. Area code 901. Anybody else get in? 760-683-2659. But area code 901, you're on the horn. What's up?
Hey, Jerry, this quick draw. I was just trying to get in touch with CFT. He got a little sideways with me in a thread about Otter earlier. And it kind of got me pissed off, and I was trying to get a hold of him just to give him a piece of my mind. But if he's already off the line, we can just keep this on the board.
Okay.
Jerry
can give you
his number. He can give you his number over the podcast.
I'll dox the hell out of him. I'll send you all the IRL deeks. Hey, quick draw. Let me at least get a score prediction from you before I send you on your way.
Man, I hate to say it, but it's going to be 17-13, Florida. I'm just broken, man.
That'll be cute. Quick draw. Good talking to you, always. I'll see you on the board.
See you.
See you, buddy. That's in the back of my mind. Just a game like last year, just a sluggish, like, why am I watching this? What is going on? And I'm so torn with this game. I think if we jump out on them like we did Oklahoma, I don't think Florida's offense is built to come back from it. I also have zero confidence that we will, once getting up 17-0, would actually try to pour on more points. And going even further, one of my biggest problems with the Tennessee-Oklahoma game had nothing to do with the fourth and goal. That was dumb. The missed field goal, Medley's got that kind of worrisome. Ellis had some poor hands there. That was bad. My issue was you got the ball on the 40-yard line like 17 times in a row. To start your drive and got nothing out of it over and over and over. Yeah, we kept snapping the ball with like 20 seconds left on the play clock. Like if I'm looking at it and I'm getting absolutely just like absolutely dominatrix style beasted on the, you know, when I'm trying to move the ball, I'm running clock if I'm up 17. And I don't understand why we didn't do that. But I guess that's either here or there. Water on the bridge, can't cry over spilled milk. While we're waiting on some calls, 760-683-2659, I did have a guy post on our message board some pretty interesting facts about things that were relevant or going on the last time that that we tasted sweet, sweet victory against the Florida Gators. Any of you guys want to take a guess at the number one song in the top 40 in 2000, whenever that was?
It was Fergie and Big Girls Don't Cry.
I will say Nelly, Hot in Here.
My goodies, not my goodies. I got a sick reputation for handling bras. All I need is me a few seconds and more, and it's a wrap. Tell the lady to bring my lap, and I ain't coming back, so you can put a car right there. I'm the truth, and I ain't got nothing to prove, and you can ask anybody.
My man Petey
Pablo.
It's
Tupac.
Yeah, it was Tupac.
The song is so good.
Dude, I was trying to get into that song so hard, like the 18 and under clubs, like Cop Not Joe Monday night. I was in there just grinding.
I remember leaving the fair, like I standing to the fair, coming back and making out with this girl in the back seat of my mom's car as Goodies played. Like that's what I think of when I hear that song.
That was absolutely, absolutely. Hey, so I got a tweet. CFT, I'm sure still listening to this. That he slowly slips into his booze induced sleep tonight. We're all in Jekyll listening to the podcast. Thank you, God, for getting CFT off the air. You're very welcome. Matty Ice, BFL, Area 51 Tailgate. Shout out to all those guys out there while I sit home and get puked on by two kids. Yeah, you know, Goodies, fantastic jam. I got a few more facts, but we got some calls here. 615-714, you're on the air with John Reed, Trent Flubs, and Fake Rob Lewis. So.
Hey, boys. Hey, it's at Keeley 77. On Twitter. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Hey, buddy. Hey, I'm a little frustrated. The last two callers calling for losses. I'm a little frustrated.
Uh-huh.
I was there in 98, true senior year when we won it. I was there in 99 when Alex Brown took T's head off. So I've been there a long time. I'm just curious what you guys think. I'm hearing that the weather could be 70% chance of rain. Got a lot of Gator fans saying that plays in their favor. I'm just wanting to know what your thoughts are on that.
Trent Flubs, this actually is down your alley. Go ahead and hit us.
Well, I don't see how that plays into really either team's favor, but I certainly don't see how it plays into the Gators' favor. You know, most people say that rain gives the advantage to the running team. Which I believe that would definitely be us. I think Jalen Hurd is probably – I think he's the difference maker in this game. I think he's the best player on the field. You know, John Madden says – he disagrees with that. He always said that the passing game has an advantage because the receivers can cut better and the defensive backs have to react. So, I mean, I kind of think that we're better on offense regardless. Better the pass game, better the running game. So rain helps us, I think.
Now, Trent, you've been in all your years of coaching and breaking down film or whatever. How does the weather affect press coverage? Is that gonna cause defensive backs to back off receivers a little bit? Because like you said, I've heard that too. When it rains, obviously the receivers know the route. Defensive backs have no idea, so they're more apt to slip, make mistakes, things like that. Would that back off press coverage?
Yeah, I would think so. The only time that hasn't helped the team, to my knowledge, was 2002 when ball, quote-unquote, legend Casey Clawson fumbled the ball in the rain maybe 30 times.
That was a tough one. I watched that from a girl's bedroom in Lincoln, Nebraska. Regrettable girl, regrettable that I was in her bedroom, and just an awful, awful game. Absolutely, that was terrible. John, do you have anything to add to that? What do you think about weather? I mean, you haven't even thought about that. What if it just dumps all game? How do you see that change?
Yeah, I've always heard the receiving game benefits the most, but I don't see how it affects either team more. Like maybe Dobbs can handle it better than Greer just because he's older, but
no factor as far as I'm concerned.
Fair enough. Caller, does that answer your question?
Do older people handle the rain better?
Well, I mean, Dobbs, you know, more experienced. I mean, I don't know. I trust him more than I trust Greer at this point. Do you not? I mean, I guess it's
yeah,
I don't know. Dumb reasoning, but I trust Dobbs to be able to handle adversity more than Greer at this point.
I'll take my running backs over theirs all day. I'll take my quarterback over theirs. I'll probably take our line over theirs. I mean, that's not saying a ton, but I think our line's a little bit better. Yeah, I mean, I think if it rains, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I'd definitely take their line over ours, and I don't know anything about their line.
Okay, yeah, appreciate the insight.
Guys, I got one more question. I mean, you don't want to win this way, but with them not having a backup quarterback and their starting quarterback, you know, being, you know, let's face it, he likes to run first. He's a little scared right now. He ran a lot against Kentucky. But that kid
gets
knocked out. Who's behind him? I mean, I'm hearing reports that it's a wide receiver. It's a wide receiver as a backup quarterback. I mean, this is like Kentucky under Dooley. And I'm just curious, like, what happens if he gets knocked out?
I think their third stringer is that transfer from Vanderbilt, right? Am I wrong? Didn't they have some shit bag from Vanderbilt transfer down there?
They might be better going with a wide receiver if that's the case.
Well, if history is any indication, then that shit bag quarterback will come in and drop about 250 on us and three scores and they'll lead Gators to victory and then never be heard from again. But yeah, go ahead, Trent.
I'm just saying, let's not kid ourselves. We don't mind winning that way. I don't care how we win.
No,
just think of Jabbar Gaffney. You know, think of the games we've screwed. Think of Casey fumbling those balls in the rain. I mean, we're a clown show when we play them. I don't care how we win. I really don't care.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. But seriously, I was reading that literally they're calling for their backup to be a wide receiver. And if that's the case, and you hate to say it, I mean, playing ball and whatever, you don't want to see a kid get hurt. But, I mean, does that factor into how hard we're going to hit this kid even maybe after the flat, even after the whistle?
I hit the shit out of him.
I would too, right? You hate to say it, but yeah, why not? I mean, look, we won in 98 with a backup quarterback, you know, after Winkie got thrown out. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, you hate to say it, but at the same time, let's just win the damn game.
Hey, if you don't like getting hit, man, the PGA Tour is still looking for golfers, I think. So don't put the pads on.
Yeah, and just keep in mind, you know, the goal is to get to the SEC championship game. So really, do we care if we beat a team with a running back playing quarterback or whatever? I don't think we do.
No, we don't.
Absolutely.
Well,
not.
Look, I'm going to hang up. I appreciate it, guys. I'll go ahead and put it out there right now. I think we win 31-10 with them scoring a late score just to get to double digits.
Let's ride, baby. Mm. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the listen.
You got it, man.
Take care, dude. Yeah, great call. See, I like the positivity. It's going to be an interesting game. The more I think about it, the more nervous I get. It's something about the Florida mystique or something that I can't get over. I just cannot. It is hard for me to envision walking away from that game with a victory. And it's not because we're not better. It has nothing to do with anything except for the last, I don't know, 11. What is it? It's 11 now. 11 years. In history should not matter. But in my mind, I just can't. Can't wrap my head around it. All my buddies are getting to that point of the week where it's big win. It's get right and hydrate Wednesday. It's big game Thursday. You mentally exercise. You condition yourself. This time of the week, start pumping up a win. I'm going to have to Brent Hubs it, man. I'm going to have to believe it to see it, as Hubs says. Shout to VolQuest. Let's get to some callers. I saw a couple calling and hang up. We're getting to you as fast as we can. I understand we're the 13th most popular Tennessee podcast in the state of Tennessee, and that kind of comes with the territory. So we're trying to shuffle through them as quick as we can. 865-368, you're on the horn. Speak your mind, sir.
What's up, fellas?
What's up?
Hey.
This is Big Popcorn Sutton watching Cincinnati and Tommy Tuberville beat the hell out of Memphis right now.
Popcorn, I've seen you with your hard hat and picks and shovels putting in some work on Twitter today. Other than that,
I was waiting for you all to answer, I actually just annihilated this poor fat man with an ugly fat wife. So you guys should go check out my last tweet if you get a chance.
Let me go check that out right now. I can multitask. Could you erase another one? Lord have mercy. Popcorn, what do you expect out of John Reed going down to Gainesville?
Big John Reed claims that he's never lost a fight in his life. I believe he says that he's like 7-0, 8-0, something like that. And he said that he's feeling froggy, so we'll see.
Dude, yeah. All right, at Popcorn Sutton, stop listening to this podcast and go, oh, that poor young man. Shane, I hate it had to be him. That's a tough look for my man there. But that's, you know, hey man, you gotta get in where you fit in, I guess. I have more issue with the typography on the truck there. That's pretty low down in redneck. I gotta admit, that's Gainesville through
and
through.
He's a queer. I hope he does.
Okay, all right, Popcorn. Let me get a score prediction before I get kicked off Blog Talk Radio.
My bad. Let's see. Well, making my first trip down there, Big Jer, so I think I'm going to single-handedly end this streak. I think their offense is garbage. I think Jalen Reeves-Maben gets an interception, maybe a fumble, something like that. I'm going to say Vols win 17-3.
And you are not a drinker and have vowed to say I did the tattoo challenge. You're vowing to get into the bottle for the first time post victory in Gainesville, correct?
That is correct. Never a sip of alcohol in my life, but if we win, me and John Reed and Seth Hughes are gonna be getting wild, so.
Big Seth Hughes. I'll tell you what, man. We're gonna do a post game call in, and I want to hear that. I want to hear that up close and personal. I'd like to hear a drunk Popcorn Sutton call. That's where we put the women and children to bed, and you can call people such names as that. So once you get once you exit the stadium safely, get to the swamp on University Avenue, get a couple in you, let John Reed hand you the phone, and let's see what happens.
Sounds good, fellas. Can't wait.
All right, buddy.
I'll see you soon, Levi.
John, you're taking a guy down there who's never had an ounce of alcohol, who openly calls people some pretty hilarious and perhaps offensive things on Twitter, and you're going to let him get into the sauce in enemy territory. You've been to Gainesville. You know the type of atmosphere that place can hold. What is your exit strategy?
I'm absolutely terrified, to be honest. Like, I'm already...
Yeah.
I've made arrangements with lawyers and a cop that is in, like, a nearby city. I'm absolutely terrified that something's going to go down. Because, let's face it, Popcorn doesn't really seem like the type of guy that will throw the first punt. So I'm worried that it's going to fall on my shoulders. And I'm going to be drinking heavily. I'm emotionally invested in the Vols, although I think we're going to get beat. So I'm just already kind of prepping for the worst, to be honest. It's going to end up bad. It's going to end up in a bad place.
Well, I mean, you got to take one for the dub, though. I'd take an ass beating for a win. I'd absolutely take an ass beating for a win. Trent Fluff,
I'm kind of protecting an understated record here.
Trent Fluff, would you take an ass beating for a victory over Florida? Like a thorough, just like absolutely in front of your peers, just beaten, like almost unrecognizable. You're going to live, patched up, you're fine. Would you take it for a win over Florida?
No, I wouldn't take a noogie for a win over Florida. Now, listen, Popcorn Sutton, that call, I can only describe it with one phrase, and that's bold flavor. Now,
bold flavor.
Another thing, Popcorn and everybody else out there, we need to be nicer to people. Let's be nicer.
Cool. And, I mean, what are you suggesting we read scripture on Twitter? I mean, what is your recommendation here? Be nicer. Okay. Expand.
Let's just be nicer. Let's be nicer to people. Let's be nicer.
The golden rule. All right. Treat others the way you want to be treated.
Trent Lama. I appreciate it. We've seen it all now. All right. 865-368. You're on the horn. Right, let's see if you can beat Popcorn Sutton. What's up?
Well, hi, failures.
Oh God!
Is this do we have our first gimmick call of the night, Jer?
I think so.
This is this is GSB from Jekyll. First
My
time,
man.
Long time.
My man.
What's happening?
What's up? man. Just trying to coach myself into a victory.
I hear you, man. We're just down here firing off some smooth 90s on the golf course.
Crushing it, stroking it. I'm sure Holt – hey, what did Holt throw up today?
He's just knocking them three bills down the pipe.
Jeez.
Firing a 76 and being upset about it.
God, he sucks, dude. I can't – he sucks. Dude, what are we doing for Saturday, six, bro? Tell me.
Can we address a subject here that – I'm afraid that this has just become – we have phantom Memphis Gainesville. This place is not hostile anymore. This
okay.
is in 1997.
Okay.
That place is about as hostile as a Golden Corral at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Well, that depends on the town, but I – okay. I see where you're – I'm picking up what you're putting down. I'm with you.
I thought you were going to say Saturday.
And I was like, oh, shit. I was going to say, dude, you're in Big Nation's hometown. That might be a rowdy deal. But keep
yeah,
going.
Which, by the way, yeah, we're going to hit that Golden Corral buffet on the way down there, of course.
On the runway.
I feel like it's one of those things that we keep hearing. It's like, oh, it's just going to be, you know, these fans are so terrible. They freaking suck. They're not any worse than anywhere else. I mean, Georgia fans are a million times worse than Florida. Maybe because they don't even consider us a rival anymore, which, you know, is kind of depressing. But anyway.
I had a guy from Florida that told me that they think of us like they think of Kentucky at this point.
Nah, that's not true. They don't think of us like that. They say that, but they don't.
Yeah. Hey,
six, bro.
Jerry, I got a quick question for you, bro.
Hit me.
So I am desperately trying to troll some Gators on the Twitter into a D's nuts, and they're just not taking the bait. I know you've had some success. I know my man Popcorn that was just on here with maybe the GOATs of all time on the Eli Gold.
oh, God. Just erase Eli Gold from the internet. That man should go ahead and
pass away. Yeah.
So
give me the blueprint here. What am I missing here? What's the secret sauce?
So, see, you got to set them up. In my experience, you can't just come out with a DN or a BOFA or a RUPD. You've got to engage them. You got to make them feel like you're their friend. Like maybe a couple back-and-forth tweets. Hey, you guys, you know, I hear your offense being talked about. I think they're going to be a little better than what other people are saying. I think you got a nice little program. I really think Mack or whatever, he's the guy. You know, I'm really nervous about this game. Let them think that you're worried, that you're really extending that big orange hand out there to shake it. And then once you got it in there, then just hit them with the, dude, I've been having this argument with a buddy, DN, is he still on the roster or what happened to him? Dude, I guarantee you it's absolute gold. He'll hit you with that question mark. That's when you take the hand and you shove it directly up his ass. Hit him with the D's nuts. You'll get hit with the block, and you just go ahead and tally another tick point for the vault player. That's how I do it.
Well, I guess in theory that's a great idea, but most of these freaking mouth breathers on Twitter are people that live in northern Florida that's never even stepped foot in Gainesville that still think Tebow played for them. So,
yeah, they're looking for Jeff Palmer to throw up some numbers.
Yeah, I'll keep mining for somebody that has a higher than a ninth grade education. Boys, we're looking for Cincinnati plus eight here down the stretch, so keep that in mind. The Balls win by 21.
It's brought out.
Yeah, I'm gonna fire a nice little 88 tomorrow. I'll see you guys on the board.
All right, brother. Appreciate
see you later,
buddy. Bill's
I'm about to go meet a lady. If you need me anymore, you got anything, any party thoughts for me? I got to get back to this lady I'm trying to meet. What's your name?
Don Reed, you've served your time well. Go big on.
All right,
please
I'm
be safe down there. Take care
I'm
of popcorn.
All right, I'm out of here. Appreciate the time,
fellas. Yeah, get out of here.
See you later.
John Reed, going to meet a lady. Listen, going to meet a lady. Out of the excuses that he could have come up with, going to meet a lady might be one of the more unbelievable ones that he could have tossed out there.
Yeah.
Man, we just got big time by Don, I think. Anyway, 615-414. You're on the horn now with the only two that matter, Trent Slubstake, Rob Lewis. What's up?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hello, is it me?
It is you. It's you.
Hey, this is Hosack. I don't have much time. I just wanted to call in with a score prediction.
You wanted a what?
I just want to call in with a quick score prediction. I don't have too much time.
Yeah, Hosack, go ahead.
I think it will be 69-6, your old boys.
Hosack, we appreciate that prediction. Go Big Orange.
That's not what we do.
What did he say?
69-6? Let's just move on.
I mean, all right. I like Hosack. Shout out to Hosack. Trent Flubs, I think we've reached we've kind of reached the time where the calls have stopped. I absolutely cannot wait for the post-game call-in show. First of the year, always an absolutely great time. Everybody's got some recreational in them by that point. They're a little loose
well,
with their words.
I have a couple questions for you, Jer. I have a couple questions
I'm here to answer them. I was just going to put on some rap music and bounce, but go ahead.
Pick to click offensively.
Like real one or Josh Smith?
No, real. Let's do real today.
My offensive pick to click for Tennessee versus Florida, year of our Lord 2015. I think Jalen Hurd is going to put – well, hold on. Yep, I'll go Jalen Hurd putting the team on the back, though, and carrying the offense. Now, I say that, but also I do believe Josh Dobbs is going to have a great game. I think he's going to have a monster on the ground. But I'll go Jalen Hurd. He'll be the one they talk about on SportsCenter. He'll be the one that gets the accolades, and rightfully so. He's going to carry the load. He's going to run over some defenders. He's going to do what he does, and he's going to go down in history with Tennessee. Next.
On defense, tell me the player who makes the play and what is the play that breaks Florida's back in this game?
So we're operating on the assumption that we win. So let me go to this fantasy land. And, all right, the play that breaks Florida's back, pick six. I'll go pick six late second quarter. And the player – will be, I mean, it's got to be my man Cameron Sutton. I'll go Cameron Sutton, final answer, pick six, late second.
And on the way out the door, give us at least one catchphrase that Butch uses in his post-game victory speech.
Like one that he hasn't used yet?
Or that he has.
Well, I mean, God, I mean, go down the list. I'll say the most used one will be we talk about it all the time. With power of the position being a very, very close second. I can see power of the position, depending on the score and how many positions. Power of the position, I'll go power of the position. Power of the position will be the one that it gets used the most. You know what's funny? I keep waiting for him to be like – I mean, because he – I know he reads social networking. I know he knows that people are kind of getting tired of the shtick. I wish he would troll the hell out of us. And at the end of, like, a press conference when he – like, him get up and then just walk back to the mic and just, like, kind of lean over and just say, individual, and walk off. Like, I think it would just be crazy. But I'll say power of the position. That's a good one for you, though, Flubs. I can tell you thought about it. What's the phrase of the week?
He's gonna say "pride of who we are" at least three times in the press conference afterwards.
Proud of who we are. Yeah, I could see that. You know what? I want that. I want to see that big cheese dick smile after we beat Florida. I could fall right back in love with him tomorrow. And you know that actually speaks to CST's call. I mean, we could absolutely fall back in love with him. But here, let me on the way out the door. Let me paint a picture, and CST kind of painted it. This is why this game is so important to me. No, Florida's not incredible. Yes, they're very beatable. Oklahoma sucked. That was awful. That was one of the worst feelings I've had walking out of Neyland Stadium. My Twitter reflected that feeling. I'd like to apologize for that. I was actually pretty stone cold sober. Kids will do that to you. But let me tell you, you win that game, you beat a down Arkansas the next week. Think about that environment come Georgia weekend. Think about that environment come Georgia weekend. That game could – it's arguably for the East. Let's say you win that game. Your ball's still really starting to roll downhill now. The Butch Jones train is picking up passengers and it's picking up steam. Okay, and then you go into Tuscaloosa. You're probably not going to win that game, but you know what? They look beatable. You got Joey Freshwater, Lane Kiffin out there, slanging around all over God's green earth. Who knows what that's done to chemistry? Who knows what that's done to morale, to coaching unity? You never know. I feel like I'm just repeating CFT's call here, but this has been on my mind all week. You win that. Let's say you lose that game. Even it doesn't matter. The train's on the tracks and it's going downhill. You ride that train all the way to the east. You win the east. You go to Atlanta. You play a nice game in Atlanta. You win or you lose. It doesn't matter. But then that announces that we are back. It announces that Butch Jones is the guy, and you're feeling great about life. That's why that game is so important to me. It could set off so many going forward the rest of this regular season that I will even forget about Oklahoma. And the people who continue to bitch about things that happened weeks ago, they will be all the way back on board, and we'll ride the Butch Jones train like a pony. All right, like a pony. Now, the flip side, if you lose this game, it could get just maybe levels of nasty I've never seen. And I'm with you. I won't log on to Twitter. I won't log on to a message board. I'll get really into Tottenham. I'll teach you some soccer lingo, some verbiage. Maybe we'll take a voyage to London, and we'll come back maybe next year.
Well, maybe that's what we need, Jerry. Maybe we need to lose, because maybe we need to get off of Twitter. Maybe we need to get off of message boards. But like
maybe,
said,
the
entire season is in front of us. Nothing has been lost yet. We're undefeated in SEC play. Saturday is huge.
Trent Flubs, what do you say we get some fuzzy navel Saturday after the game and fire this up again and open up the line?
Let's do it.
Go Vols, brother.
See ya.
I've been hard, but the next day I get it. Yeah, rich nigga. Rich motherfucker. Huh? When you wake up before you brush your teeth, you grab your scraps, nigga. All the time you get down on your knees, shoot on crowd, nigga. Fuck what you heard, God blessing all the trout, nigga. God blessing all the trout, nigga. When you wake up before you brush your teeth, you grab your scraps, nigga. All the time you get down on your knees, shoot on crowd, nigga. Fuck what you heard, God blessing all the trout, nigga. God blessing all the trout, nigga.
Weighed 1,008 grams on the squat. I got a lowercase T across my chest. Your crack house doing numbers, then you blessed. You move your mama to a crib from the jet. It's so much I can holler, push on my bro. Praying 5 times a day to catch the floor. A few bean pies stashed in the truck. Two dice out there, sell dust. You loaded up the top of seat, you gone bust. Know yourself a million times, you don't give a fuck. Load over a million dimes hanging in the cut. Load over a million dimes, don't give a fuck.
When you wake up before you brush your teeth, you grab your scraps, nigga. All the time you get down on your knees, shoot on crowd, nigga. Fuck what you heard, God blessing all the trout, nigga. God blessing all the trout, nigga. When you wake up before you brush your teeth, you grab your scraps, nigga. All the time you get down on your knees, shoot on crowd, nigga. Fuck what you heard, God blessing all the trout, nigga. God blessing all the trout, nigga.
I thought Lala, we gon' wake up with that Glock on Kato. That's the dope inside of Winnebago, Indicator. You got your work, you fuck it up in the hood bodega. No more than